Man, how great thou art. That's good news this morning. Amen? All right. I'm glad you're here this morning. If you're new here to Connecting Point, I want to give you a special welcome from my heart and my home to yours. I do have to tell you that Myrna so misses being able to be with us. Most of you know, if not all of you, that my mom has come to live with us, and her physical needs have demanded that Myrna be with her 24/7. And you pray for Myrna. She is definitely God's angel. Since my mom has gotten to the place where she'd rather Myrna be home with her than me. It's okay, I got over it. But Myrna misses you terribly. Thank you so much for those of you who have brought a meal or just come and hung out with her. You don't know what that means to her. And the day will come when she'll be back with us. I know we're working on that right now. And so you just pray with us, will you? But my prayer every single time that you come to church, my prayer is that you'll feel at home, you'll feel relaxed. Even if you have to take a nap, go ahead. That would be all right, because this is, I know it's a tough week, you know, and you've had a hard week. You need some quiet. And sometimes one person's voice over and over again just kind of just enough to put you over the edge. And that's okay. I promise I'll never come out and wake you up. All right? I'll let you sleep. But I trust that when you leave here today that God will give you something. We serve an awesome, mighty God, a tremendous God, and God loves us incredibly much. I'm convinced that that's exactly what our world needs to know more than anything else, is that God loves them. They don't need to know the judgment of God. It's going to come at the right time. But for right now, we're under the dispensation of grace. Did you know that? Through His Holy Spirit, we live under the dispensation of grace. What that means is we still have time to share the gospel. I was praying. I don't know if you have different places that you go pray, but I was praying in the parking lot of Denair Pizza Factory just the other night. The reason we were there, it was fifth quarter. At the end of the fourth quarter for the Denair High School football games, we go down to Pizza Factory, and Pastor Nick and his crew open it up, and they work with us there at the factory. Last Friday night, we had something like 140-some people show up. Students, amen. In fact, we had so many that it got too hot inside the pizza house that they all kind of flowed out into the parking lot. And so some of us had to surround the parking lot, you know, just hang out, you know, make sure that everything stays on the up and up. But you know what? As I was standing there, 80 of our high school students able to pray for them and pray that somehow, some way that they would know the love of God. And if it's through a piece of pizza and a glass of soda, that works for me. God will use all things. But I want you to know God loves you. Now, the last few weeks, we've been talking about this series, in our series, about the word if. Just want to make sure you were focused. And, you know, we talked about it's a powerful word. And although most of the time, not most of the time, but some of the times we get stuck on the if-onlys of our life, and we talked about that. We kind of go through life with all this regret, but that's not where God desires us to live. Where God desires us to live, His way is marked with possibilities, with blessing, and so He can change that if-only to what if. I mean, what would it be like? What if God did? Yes, He can, and He definitely will. If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer? No one. Absolutely no one. God is always on our side every single day in every way possible. But some of the most powerful ifs that we see in the Bible are found in Romans chapter 8, where we've been for these weeks, okay? We've been looking over it over these past few weeks. It's an exciting place to read. If I hope and I trust that during these weeks together, you've had opportunity to read through that to read that Romans 8 two or three times. It's not a real long one. So just in case you haven't, let's stand together, shall we? And read Scripture. And our Scripture focus this morning is in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to begin at verse 35, read down through verse 39. I did think about reading the whole chapter, but didn't want to make you stand that long. But our focus this morning is right here. And this is one of the first verses of Scripture that I ever memorized. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? It's Paul breaks out with a question. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted, if we're hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the Scriptures say, for your sake, we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. Despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced, I am completely convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, above, or the earth beneath. Indeed, nothing in all of creation. I like how Paul just said, in case I missed something, let me just throw this in. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is what? Revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to know about God's love? Look to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you bless the reading of your word. This is your word. This is not ours. And I ask, O God, that you would challenge us today in thy precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Are you ready? Here we go. Verse 37 says, no, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. Now, it also, some of your versions will say, no, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through Christ who loved us. You this morning, get this, this will shake your world. You are more than a conqueror this morning. Oh, good. And I know that might not seem like everything is kind of lined up and going your way. You ever had one of those weeks that just didn't go your way? Well, let me just tell you my journey this week. I cracked a tooth. It cracked all the way down to the root. That, thank you for saying, Al, because it hurt. I went to my dentist because your dentist is going to take care of your owie. I went to my dentist. He said, you need to go to the endodontist. You need to have a root canal. So I went to the endodontist, and for $75 and a minute and a half, he told me he couldn't fix it. That's the job I want right there. He sent me back to my dentist. I went back to my dentist, and she said, oh, I'm so sorry. He can't fix it. We'll get it in, and we'll have the oral surgeon remove it. And so here, let me look at my book. Okay, September 20th. Yeah, she's such a ham. I just, you know, it's like... Right. She goes, no, we're all booked. I said, no, this hurts. So she gave me 600 milligram Motrin. Phew. I said, no, you don't understand. You know the old song, this is going to drive me to drink and the pain. This is, She said, well, I'm sorry, that's all we can do. Well, long story short, I was able to find a place to get it taken out, and everything's fine. Hey, everything doesn't necessarily fall in line. We talked about that last week, okay? Bad things happen to good people. Tragedy strikes no matter who we are, and pain, I have learned, is completely impartial. In fact, if you look into your life and my life, is it not true that we all have scars? Well, when everything is said and done, here's what I want you to know. You are not the victim. You are not the victim. You are, as Scripture has told us, what? You are more than a conqueror. The same Spirit And you know, Christians, I wish we could really get our heads around this, but it's tough. The same Holy Spirit that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead, the same power is what makes us more than conquerors. And that's pretty awesome. That's just unbelievable. All right. I came up with a new word. Teachers, are you ready? Check it out. I think what we have here, we could call an inner unconquerableness. It works for me. You're not going to find it in the dictionary, but it makes sense. It's the message of this verse that we're talking about this morning especially. There's an inner unconquerableness for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. All right? Understand this morning. As children of God, we live on promises, not expectations. We live on promises, not explanations. We live on God's promises. So the circumstances or the people, like your dentist in your life, leave you with feeling like you're a victim? Do you find yourself kind of responding in that victimization type attitude? Is it a cycle that just kind of seems tough to break in your life? Romans 12:2 says it this way. Let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. And then Romans 4:17 also tells us, a bunch of Roman scriptures here, might as well read them. The God who gives life to the dead calls things into being which do not yet exist. That's the power that God has given to you and I. And then finally, Romans 4, a couple of verses there, 20 and 21, we see this incredible example of Abraham. It said, yet with respect to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in the faith, giving God the glory, being fully assured. I love these adjectives. I think that's what they're called. Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also going to perform. Okay, folks, can I just tell you this morning, be encouraged. Be encouraged. You know, whatever comes into your life, however big the mountain seems to be encouraged. I mean, what would it look like to walk in the freedom that God has given us through Christ? We are not victims. We are victors through Christ. We don't work for victory. We work from the position of victory because it's already been provided. Washed, yes, cleansed, yes, new creature in Jesus Christ. We're not a victim of any other person. We're not a victim of any other situation. And we are not the victim of Satan. Satan is our adversary. Everybody said? Oh, that was kind of weak. Well, I'm glad he's not bugging you. Satan is our adversary. He is coming after you, folks. He is. You have a target. If you love Jesus, in fact, check it out. The person next to you, look at their back real quick. There is a target on their back. If they love Jesus, there's a target on their back. Because the enemy, Satan's our adversaries. He sends all kinds of life, if you will, kind of deflating, life-defeating, joy-stealing attacks and threatens our faith in God. I mean, that's his picking job. And all kinds of those are, I should say, many of those attacks we find right here in the scripture that we're talking about this morning. Hardships, trouble, persecution, hunger, nakedness, sword, you name it. Paul's, what he's doing here is he's encouraging us to stand firm in the faith when those attacks come. Reminding each of us, reminding us as we go down this journey that not only are we going to win come the end of the story, but Jesus enables us to win right now. You know what? Victory is not something that's out there. It's something that's here. Present tense. Here's a new one. Here's a new thought for you. Satan, you ready? Satan lacks the power to steal my eternal destiny. He has no authority. He has no power. He cannot separate me from the love of God. All right? And you know what? Even, you ready for this? Even sin can't separate me from His love. Why do I know that? Because while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Okay? Listen. We separate ourselves in the relationship with God when we're living in disobedience, absolutely. But God's love never stops. God doesn't look at you and go, well, fine, you don't want to do it my way? I don't love you anymore. Mm-mm. He loves us. Listen, remember, I just love some scriptures that we miss. And I was reading when Jesus was standing before Pilate. How many remember that story? I mean, the trial, the end of his life. He's standing before Pilate. Listen to the verses here out of John 19 real quick. All right. I mean, Pilate's already said, hey, I don't find any fault in him. I don't understand what you crazy people want. And they started yelling, crucify him. All right. Now listen, Pilate, he took Jesus back into the headquarters again. In other words, into his area. And he asked him, okay, this is just Jesus and Pilate and maybe a few guards. He said, where are you from? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't say a word. You don't talk to me? Pilate demanded. Don't you realize who I am? Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or I have the power to crucify you? Then Jesus said, you would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from my Father. You have no power over me, Pilate. The only power you have is what God's given you. Folks, we are not victims. We are victors. This morning, as we look at this phrase, more than conquerors, in the Greek, you know, as I was reading this, and I've read it a million times probably, and it says, we are what? Who said more? You get a candy bar. We are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Check it out. In the Greek, you know what that means? I looked it up. You'll be impressed. It says, hyper conqueror. That's who I am. I don't know who you are today, but I'll tell you who I am. I'm a hyper conqueror. Some of you don't know, you're just hyper. No, I'm a hyper conqueror. That's who I am in Christ. Now, that's my true identity. Now, most of you know me as Greg Gebhardt. That's because that's the name my mom and dad gave me. However, can I tell you that's not my identity? My identity is I'm a hyper conqueror in Christ Jesus. And you know what, by the way, more than conqueror in the Greek, it's just one word. Hyper conqueror. All right? And to think of myself as anything less than that, you know what? That's a false humility. That's what that is. We walk around defeated because we don't understand our true identity. Now, folks, this is worth writing down. I don't say that very often. This is worth writing down. Pride is believing something about myself that is not true. All right? Check it out. False humility is not believing something about myself that is true. And I, this morning, each one who is called on the name of Jesus Christ is more than a conqueror. This is for sure. I am not the victim. To be more than conqueror means that before you even get to the problem, this is what this hyper-conqueror is. Before we even get to the problem, you already know whatever problem comes in your life, whatever problem comes your way, you can overcome it in Christ. You live with this confidence that you know that we just sang about it, that God loves us no matter what, and He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. And when you have this kind of relationship with Christ, you're not constantly afraid of the bad things that might come your way. I don't know how you are in life. If you sit and kind of live in fear all the time of what might come, what might be around the next corner, what might happen in your life. Folks, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. Because when the unexpected comes into our lives, we're not disappointed. We're not devastated by it. Oh, it may be painful and it may hurt. But listen, we are more than conquerors. We will get through it. Plain and simple. Did you know the name Israel? Well, you think it's a nation. Well, the nation Israel is true, but it's also a person. And his previous, also known or formerly known as, was what? Jacob. Exactly. You guys are right on this morning. This is cool. And Jacob, the meaning of Jacob is deceiver. Anybody want Jacob? Now understand, hang on, Jacob. It's okay. Poor Jacob. Everybody in church turns around and looks at poor Jacob right now. Your mama named you, bro. Hang on. Because listen, his name changed, okay? His name changed. God gave him a new name and he called it what? Israel. He changed his identity, who he was. He said, you're no longer the deceiver. You are now Israel, which is what? A prince of God. Can I tell you that what God did for Jacob back then is exactly what he does for us today? He changes our identity. Revelation 2:17. For all of you that think we're coming to the end of the world, listen to what it says. Anyone with ears to hear must listen with the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. And I will give to each one a white stone. And on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. There's a new name written down in glory. So if we are in Christ, if we're a child of God, that makes us a hyper-conqueror. And if that's not how you see yourselves, then you haven't come to terms with who you are in Christ this morning. In Romans, again, 8:37, where we are, it says we are more than conquerors in what? All things. We're more than conquerors in all things. And what Paul is referencing here is all what things? Well, you go back to verse 35, and what did it say? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword? Knowing all these things, we are hyper-conquerors through Him who loved us. And so Paul starts with this question of who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he comes up with this laundry list, if you will, of the worst case scenarios that could of trouble and danger and things that could come between us and God. And I want you to understand that Paul is not speaking here in exaggerated terms just to make his language beautiful. Every one of these, when you look at what he's listed there, and I don't know if you've done this, but I did. When you look at what he listed, every one of those was associated with something that happened in Paul's life. Check it out, just a few. All right? There's a painful memory in every one of those things on his laundry list. You remember when he was shipwrecked? The storm that came out? That was a hardship. We talked about persecution. One of it jogs his memory of when he was getting stoned with rocks. So each one of these has a memory to it. When Paul received, if you will, the maximum sentence of 40 lashes minus one. Not one time, but five times. That means on Paul's human body, on his back, were 195 scars. Crisscrossed from the beating. You see, all of those lists that he made, when he was being beat, he said, I'm more than a conqueror. When he's being stoned, he said, I'm a hyper-conqueror. When he was shipwrecked, I'm a hyper-conqueror. Each one of those is a memory. And I don't know what your life's pain or suffering looks like, but I do know that no matter what's happened to you, no matter what's going on, you can overcome it in Christ. But I also want you to know something else, that the enemy wants you to play the victim. He wants you to play the victim. He wants you to roll over. But I want you to hear this morning. You are not defined. I am not defined by what situations or other people have done to me. That doesn't identify who I am. I'm defined by what Christ has done in me through his blood. I don't want you to forget that. I don't want some of you have walked through some pretty tough stuff, but so did Jesus. And he has told us, what? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He had emotional scars, just like the real physical scars. They were just as debilitating for Christ as they are for us. But still, understand, you're not the victim. You are more than a conqueror. You see, the enemy, what he wants us to do, he wants us to focus on our fear. He wants us to focus on our fear. But don't live out of fear. You see, a fear-based approach to life is not God's plan. Romans 8:15 said what? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption to whom we cry, Abba, Father. We talked about that last week. Now, you put that together with 1 John 4:18 that says what? Such love, this kind of love, has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. God has perfect love for each and every one of us this morning. You see, love, you know what a restraining order is? You don't have to raise your hand or anything, because we don't want to know why. But God's love is my restraining order against fear. Stay away. It's kind of that cease and desist kind of a feel. The enemy, he's a bully, right? Can I just tell you something? Satan's bark is worse than his bite. 1 Peter 5:8, we talked about this in prayer group this morning. It says, get this, it says he prowls around, what? What did you say? Okay, shorten it up. What did you say? Who said like? You get a candy bar. He prowls around like. In other words, folks, I'm sorry, teachers. He ain't. He ain't a lion. He just thinks he is. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, Satan is the biggest imposter that there ever was. And if we allow him to, he will play tricks in our head. What I'm getting at is this. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Live by faith. Trust God. Faith is what? Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. That's faith. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. You're more than a conqueror. In verse 38 in our reading says, And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, or fears of today, or worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can keep us from God's love. No, there's no power in the sky above or the earth beneath. Nothing in all creation can ever separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, I am convinced. King James Version says what? I am persuaded. The love of God, can I just tell you, the love of God makes no sense. The love of God is not logical. The love of God is not something that we can mentally comprehend, I think. It isn't information, it's transformation. That's what God's love is. And so you see, God's love changes everything. I like what Paul said. He said, neither what? Height nor depth. And I thought about, what's the furthest thing out there, height-wise? I found it. Google is amazing. The furthest galaxy is 13.8 billion light years away. All right? Now that's the highest of heights, I think. How about the deepest of depths? Well, I Googled that one. I think it's called Challenger Deep. It's a trench that runs 6.85 miles underneath the island of Guam. That's a long ways down. Go ahead, try to swim that far down. Yeah, you think Nutrisystem works? It'll just... 13.8 billion light years this way, 6.85 miles this way. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And here's what I'm getting at. The issue's not how lovable you are. Oh, look at you guys this morning. You are so lovable. But it has nothing to do with how lovable you are. But it has everything about how loving our God is. You know it, you've heard it before. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. His love is perfect. His love is unconditional. His love is unchangeable. His love is unfathomable. It's just simply amazing, His love. There was a book that was written talking about famous people and their favorite Bible verses. And I ran across a guy. His name is John Bruce. And he was a federal judge that Ulysses Grant appointed. So this was not yesterday. It was back in 1875. And he was on his deathbed. He asked his daughter to go get his Bible. And she went and got the Bible. And he told her to turn to Romans chapter 8, it is said. And he asked her to put his finger, take my finger, and put it on Romans 8, 38. For I am persuaded. And he went on. And it says, according to the book, that that's how he died. With his finger on Romans 8, 38. Lord, help me to respond to your word that way. Your love that's beyond my understanding. Even the love I have for my wife and my children and my grandchildren. Oh, it was fun last night. Had all my kids together and had all the grandkids. I think it's 9 grandkids right now. 10's coming. No, this is 9. One of my other daughter-in-laws is doing the 10th. And I just sat there last night in my living room watching all this craziness. And I said, God, how I love every single one of them. And I knew I'd be preaching to you this morning. And he said, Greg, this doesn't even scratch the surface of how much I love you. Amazing. You know what? Maybe. Is it possible that some of us have forgotten how much God loves us? Because we're so convinced we're unlovable. That's not in God's book. I have 9 grandchildren, and boy, do they have different personalities. Some are ornery. I'm not going to say who. Doesn't change my love for them. In fact, I kind of like that little orneriness. There isn't anything they could ever do to cause this papa to ever stop loving them. Maybe you have forgotten that no matter what you've done or what you do or what's going on, you're like, God doesn't stop loving you. The creator of the universe loves you with an everlasting love. Even if you've allowed yourself to get out of fellowship with God and your life is living, there's maybe some sin in your life. Folks, listen, don't ignore the sin, but understand that even at this point, God is saying, child, I love you. I love you with my whole heart. Maybe you've allowed yourself to be identified and defined by what other people have said and done. Did you know right here and right now, I'm asking God to allow you to allow Him to just embrace you wherever you are. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. Folks, that's crazy love. I'll share words to a song with you as we close. When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You're the life, you're the light, you're the fight that is in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You're the power that's in our veins. O Lord, our God, our conqueror. I will sing into the night. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is He living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat. We are free, we are redeemed. We will declare over despair, you are the hope. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow down to sin or shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you, we are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. You are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. You, look at you, you bunch of hyper conquerors. That's who you are. Amen? All right. How many of you, okay, now that I'm all done, almost, how many of you really believe it, that you are a hyper conqueror? I want you to stand right now. If you don't believe you're a hyper conqueror, maybe you're just a conqueror. You say, well, I'm not really that hyper. Yeah, you are. You're a hyper conqueror. Why? Now you say, why are you having us do this? Because listen, it's not who you think you are that matters. Everybody said? It's not who you think you are that matters. God has told you that in Christ you are a hyper conqueror. And you have that. Folks, it's not what you think you can muster up. It's what God has already done. Amen? All right, worship team, come up here. We're going to sing a little bit, and we're going to sing a song. Church isn't over, and we're going to sing a song that we did a little bit earlier in the service that really is a confession of our heart that we are more than conquerors through Him. Heavenly Father, How we thank you for the promises of your word. As it says, all the promises are yea and amen. And Father, we thank you for this promise this morning that says that we are more than we're hyper conquerors through you. Now, Lord, sometimes it doesn't really, it just doesn't feel like it, Lord. It just doesn't feel like we're a hyper conqueror. In fact, sometimes, Lord, it just feels like I can't do it. It just feels like I'm the victim. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would break that curse right now in every life across this sanctuary. Break that curse. Break that lie of our enemy. Because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thank you, Lord, for your promises today. In thy name. And everybody said, now sing.